can't sleep at night. I could easily get 10 hours sleep a night in the last few weeks. I think I'm going to get up. The next thing I know, it's 2 hours later. I fell asleep while I'm thinking about getting up. But anyway, this has been an interesting week. Instead of coming to a lot of good conclusions, I've got a lot more questions than I had before. Charlie is talking at some church this morning, I think. Yeah, we need to pray for him. Anyway, there's a scripture that Ken and I have talked about a number of times. It's in the first chapter of Hebrews in the third verse, and it says that he was the expressed image of God's person. And the thing we have to understand, it requires the Holy Spirit to bring truth. We can read the scriptures, and we can interpret the scriptures, and almost without exception, will be wrong. It requires the Holy Spirit to bring truth. I'll give you a good reason why. In my little King James Version, this is the first one I've ever had that did this, but there's a section right in the very front, and it says, "To the most high and mighty Prince James, the King of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, defender of the faith." Well, let me tell you a little bit about King James. By his authority, we have the King James translation, because he had to okay it, they had a control thing that America doesn't have the same thing. We have a freedom of speech, and they didn't have that. But there's another thing about King James that we need to understand. He was a staunch Trinitarian. And so the more things that could be swayed or kind of pointed toward the Trinity would gain his favor. Do you follow me? So we can look at it and say, well, then how are we going to ever understand it? How are we going to gain any truth if that's the case? And I got the answer to that. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. And you know what part of the guidance is? It's steering us away from the things that some of the translators have added because of their own beliefs. The Thompson chain, I don't have one. Well, I have one, but I don't use it. But Frank Thompson was a staunch Trinitarian. And so what happens, now I'm okay with all this because I'm starting to understand it. What happens is that he found Trinity in everything that you could possibly locate anywhere in the scriptures. So you'd find the footnote or the notes on the side. And here'd be a scripture, and then on the side it would be an arrow and say, Trinity. And you'd think, how did he get Trinity out of that? He got Trinity out of everything he could get Trinity out of. And because he's a Trinitarian. And it's like, that's one of the dilemmas that we have today. And so, we have talked about this verse, and it says, who is the expressed image of his person. And so I looked this up in a couple other translations, and the King James says this. But in some of the other translations, they say, who is the express image of his nature or of his personality. And I began to realize that, the person thing of it is really not as bad as it seemed, because it is really not saying that he was the express image of a God-man or of something, you know what I'm saying? And so when it says in 2 Peter 1:4, it says that by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of his divine nature. I'm starting to get a different... I've been through something in the last few days in this whole thing. I don't think that we're ever going to be, or that we're going to, in this life, become real partakers of God's divine nature. I think we're going to become partakers of Christ's nature. And that Christ was the only one who could become a genuine partaker of God's divine nature. I know that's what it appears to say, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's other things about it, and I mean, I'm just talking. This is all open to discussion or disagreement. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm thinking that God brought forth a Son, and that the image of the Son is what we are designed to be. We are to become like the Son. Not independent in any way. But the Son is the pattern, and I think that God wants us to be brought into that, into the pattern of His Son. Did anybody follow me or disagree with me or agree with me? Or you're welcome to disagree. I've been thinking about this thing for 2 days, so I kind of got to jump on you a little bit. And in some of them, it says, translations, it says that he was the expressed image of God's divine nature. I have one of the translations that say that. And that's what got me thinking about it. It's not that this, whoever translated it is any more accurate than the other translations, but... But anyway, you know what? I'm going to stop, and then if nobody comes up, I'm coming right back up. So, make sure I can sit down one more time.
Sometimes I never know why I get up, but I always feel like there's hands behind me pushing me up sometimes. But why wouldn't we want to be like Jesus? I mean, in that sense, I don't want to be like God. That's way too much pressure. I mean, Jesus was a really nice man who walked the earth. If there was nothing else about him, it was the fact that he did what his Father told him to do, but he didn't walk around saying, I'm only doing this because my Father told me to do it. He's doing it because he had the love for us as individuals and people that he's listening to his Father, and he's doing what the Father says, but his compassion comes out to us. And, yeah, I would like to be like Jesus. There's one of the songs that Corky played was Don't Let Me Miss the Glory. And that truly is from my heart. I don't want to miss the glory. I don't want to walk around so much that we have such blinders on that we're not going to see the good things. It's so often we're always looking for the bad things. You look at something and you go, oh, well, I could do this except for this, this, and this. I want to change that outlook saying, you know, if I can't do that, I can do this. Because I think it's kind of how we were raised at times, that, you know, and if you come from different backgrounds, it's so often you were told, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. You wouldn't be good enough to do that. You wouldn't be. And the Lord is never saying to us that we can't do something. You can do all things through Him. It's just that we're not looking for Him. And I don't want to miss that glory. Amen. I want to walk in that glory that where the Lord is with me and Jesus is my best friend and we're walking and talking together. One of the quotes that I had watched the movie Miracles from Heaven, which was based on a true story about a little girl who had an experience going to heaven. One of the things I quoted in there was from Albert Einstein. And he said, you can live your way two lives. One, that everything is a miracle. And two, that nothing is a miracle. And if I was going to have a choice in that matter, I'd surely rather live my life than everything's a miracle. And if you stop and think about it, everything is a miracle. We breathe. We look at the trees. We look at everything. Everything is a miracle. God, He put everything here for us. Everything is a miracle. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to forget it. So I want to live my life that I don't want to miss the glory. And I want to walk around to Jesus as my best friend. And I want to do, and I want to be how He was. Because, you know, that's a great example.
I want to just comment again that statements I make are open to correction and whatever else, and so I don't want anybody to feel, you know, I won't be offended if you'd say anything. Susan didn't say anything, but I mean, if anybody does, I mean, I'm just thinking from my own standpoint. I was talking to somebody on the telephone this last week, and they made a strange statement, and they said that they heard some TV minister or somebody, and he was talking about it wasn't him that did it, but somebody was praying, and they were really concerned and praying about, said, Lord, why don't you send somebody, give us answers to cancer. And they were praying. They said, Lord, you need to send somebody that comes up with the answers to cancer. And I don't know if they had an experience or heard. Did anybody else hear what I'm talking about, or what happened? And whether they heard a voice or heard God speak, or it was just put in their head. But anyway, but the Lord told him. He says, I did. I sent two people. Had the answers to cancer, or to cancer, and he said, you aborted both of them. And I thought, that's quite a statement. You know what I mean? But anyway, I don't know. I lost track of what I was going to say.
You know, if you are home someplace, and if I'm close to you or whatever, and you don't see me, and I say, hey, it's me! You know it's Pablo, right? I mean, hey, it's me. Or the other way around, if you guys are, I mean, my eyes are closed. Or if I do turn around and you guys start saying, hey, it's me, I'll know each one of you who you are. Not just because of your voice, or even if I don't hear your voice. There's a bunch of guys there, and Keith, let's say, he's a bunch of people, and you know, one person will be doing this or whatever. I say, oh, that's Keith. He's the one, you know, doing a certain thing, you know, building something. I don't know. Anyways, in Matthew 7, in Matthew 7, you know, this thing, say, we did all these things, and so forth. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Jesus says, I never knew you. It's not that they didn't know him, because, you know, we have to know him. You know what I mean? But it has to work the other way around, too. I never knew you. Huh? And, you guys don't remember this, but Joanne had a dream once a few years ago, not 10 years ago, you know, I'm going to say 3 years ago. And she stood up and she said, hey, I had a dream, and I could see Jesus or God or so, Jesus or one or the other. And she's like, it's me. And, you know, and there was a reciprocal answer, you know. And so anyways, my question is, like, just put yourself in that situation. If Jesus is, you know, standing someplace, facing that way, whatever, if you say it's me, will he know? Will he know? Oh, yeah, that's Pablo. You know, or like, if you say it's me, it's like, you who? You know what I mean? That's just a different way of evaluating yourself. You know, if you want to evaluate yourself. No, it's me. It's me. And I don't know. I don't know that I have a solution, or I don't have a, you know. It's me. No, yeah. I know who you are. Pablo. Or whatever. Or I don't. Who are you? You know, we know we need to hear the word of God and do it. James says, you know, don't not be just hearers, but be doers. And I think there's a confusion in doing God's word, and very valid, not valid, but very, very obvious confusion. Sometimes we think that that doing God's word, is just like preaching or going out and doing something, or, you know, painting houses for the poor, or, you know, but this is like, I'm a missionary and I do this, and I don't know so much. Yes, you know, the signs will follow those that believe. But that's not what you do. You know, there was, you know, there were wonders and stuff. That's not what you do. Yeah, to do God's word, and I'm going to change, I don't want to change James a little bit, but to do God's word is to be God's word. You have to be God's word. Don't just hear it. Be it. Be it. Be God's word. You know, yeah, you want to go out and preach all day long? Go preach all day long. Or feed the poor or whatever. I don't know. Jesus says, you know, be like a lamp unto the world so they can see your good works. You know, so whatever. And we know it's not by works, but by might or whatever. But yeah, so they can see your good works. But your good works is being the word of God, not doing things we gotta do and this Martha's. You know what I mean? Being the word of God, or doing the word of God, it's having the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is to do God's word. Is to have joy, is to have peace. And that you can't see. You can't. I can't show you joy by in a picture. You know, you can't. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is to do God's word. If you have those things that you really can't show by doing, you know, then you could, I suppose. But anyways, I think it's a bit of a new definition of doing God's word. It's to do God's word is to be God's word. And I just, you know, if you say it's me, you know, I when the time comes, I want Jesus to say, oh yeah, I know who you are.
That's good.
I just want to add a few things to what Pablo said. When he was saying, it's me, I am, it's me, I was thinking, it's me, I am here. I'm talking about the voice, and I looked it up in John 10. I'm going to start with verse 2. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger.
Talking about sleep, mine's been a little erratic since, you know. But last night I got like over 7 hours, and so I got up and I was getting ready for church and everything. It was already about 10. And I've been standing quite a while. I think I'll sit a little bit, sat down in the recliner. Woke up at 10:30. I wasn't trying to take a nap. I was out. I don't know if I'm going to touch that one yet, Keith. No. I did think of one scripture in James, though, where it says, and I have no opinion either way on this, but James, I always like this, though, because I like the word that they use. It says, and it's talking about the tongue, you know, that it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Made in the similitude of God. So, I don't know if that applies or not. I was listening, and something jumped out at me, and because we've been talking a lot, quite a bit in the men's meetings and stuff, you know, about sin and how do you not sin if you're born again? You should not sin, you know, and yet we know we sin, and there's a whole thing there. And I was listening in to Hebrews, and I picked up on this little thing in Hebrews. It says, Hebrews 7. Well, first of all, I'm going to just right here in Hebrews 5:9. And having been perfected, he became the author of our eternal salvation to all who obey him. So that's speaking of Christ. And then in Hebrews 9, I'm going to read a few scriptures that have a particular word in them. Hebrews 7. Sorry. So I got to go over there. Hebrews 7, 19. So it says in 19, chapter 7, 19 of Hebrews, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Okay, just keep that in mind. And then in 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. By the way, this is speaking of when God says in 10, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. And then 9:9. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifice are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. And then 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect.
Yes.
And then 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever. Okay. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So as I was listening, I thought, well, wait a minute now. They were doing these sacrifices in the Old Testament, but knowing they couldn't be perfect by fulfilling them, but there was an answer coming that what? Says you must be able to be perfect when this next thing fulfills what it's to do. Are you with me at all with that? If they were doing something that could not make them perfect, there must be something that can be done that will make you perfect.
Yes.
I guess that's saying it a little better. And so, and then as you're reading here, you realize that when Christ came, he was the perfect sacrifice, and that if you receive him, then God says, now I will begin to write my laws and stuff on your heart. See, you're not going as a people to do sacrifices. I'm going to deal with each one of you one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, and you can have your sins forgiven at any time. And so, every time that you come before the Lord and confess, he doesn't remember. So at that point, now, it says you can do some sins in ignorance that you're not aware of or whatever. Well, then God would know that you're not aware of it. If you confess every sin you're aware of, are you not then at that moment perfect before God? I mean, it's something to consider, isn't it? I mean, seriously, and so when you look at all those verses in 1 John and other places that say, you know, when you've been born from above, when you're born from above, at that moment you have no sin, basically. And then after that, but then there's provisions that say your sins can be forgiven if you do sin. And then it says if you want to stay in your flesh, then you won't care whether you do some sin or not. You know, it kind of implies that. But if you are in your spiritual man, you won't want to sin, even though you may sin. So, it's like, and I know, and that's what I was sharing with, you know, the last week or so, over the last year or two. I felt like I was doing things wrong. I felt like I was sinning, but I was always repenting because I really didn't want to be doing it. And so that's a process, I believe, of sanctifying, you know, sanctification. And if you get to the place where every day, and maybe, you know what, we may even be there now. I don't know. See, that's just part of it that I don't know for sure. Only God probably knows. But if you got to the place where every day, every time, if you did sin, you confessed it immediately, you would be walking perfect, I believe, before the Lord. Amen. You know? Because that's the provision He gave. He said, this one didn't make you perfect, but I have something that will make you perfect. So, it's just something to consider. It's good because I'm feeling like God wants to bring us into this place where we are much more aware of who we are in Him. You know, I think the devil's kind of kept us beaten down somewhat, and we don't probably fully understand the true authority we have and where we're at in God, you know, and in Christ. And of course, all of it is, yes, it is all dependent on Jesus Christ. I mean, that's, if you don't accept Him, then you don't get any of this. Then you might as well go back and try to keep the law, you know, and do your sacrifices and everything else. So it just, some of these thoughts are just coming that I feel like he wants to reveal these things to us more and more so that we grow and become more confident in who we are in Christ and in Him. And I don't know, you know, the scripture, I think you mentioned the scripture. It says we become partakers of His divine nature. Where is that?
2 Peter 1:4.
And who's that saying? 2 Peter 1:4. I want to read some scriptures before that to see the setting. Well, I'm going to read grace, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Now, I don't know, who is that speaking of? I think it's speaking of God, you know, by which we have been given, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I just jumped ahead to read something because I saw it, but then it goes on to say, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. Now here it's saying, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it's kind of saying that if you live as Christ lived, you'll know Him, but you'll also be partakers of the divine nature. Which, see, I don't know how that's connected in what you're bringing. But I just thought I'd read that setting, because I couldn't remember how it was put there, you know. Because if Peter was referring to God and His divine nature, well, then it's saying we need His divine nature, or we can have His divine nature. But it's also saying that if you don't do all these other things, then you won't be fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not fruitful in Him, well, then I don't think you can have the first part, which is the divine nature, you know, so whatever that means.
This is all kind of one of those areas that's it's kind of, we're in the process of kind of straightening, you know, getting the straightening going on in our heads. The thing about it is, if Christ walked and had the divine nature, that's promised to us too. I guess maybe I didn't word it right, but it's like it has to be done. Whatever happens has to be done through Christ. It can't be done apart from Christ. I begin to understand some scriptures that have been I don't know, foreign to me. I never understood it. But what part did Christ have in the first church? In the ministries of the first church, what part did he have? Well, in John 5:26, it says, "As the Father has life in Himself, He's given to the Son to have life in Himself." So it's like somehow Jesus became divided. I mean, there's one Jesus, but he could work in all kinds of places at the same time. Somehow, it don't make sense, but somehow he did. And so what happens, it tells us, and I never saw it till just lately, the last verse in the book of Mark. And it says, and it's talking about Jesus. And it says, and the Lord working with them. The Lord was working with those people. We're talking about Jesus. Wherever people were, He was there also. You know what I'm saying? The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. The confirmation was coming through Jesus Himself. He was the one that was causing these things to happen. Okay, so now, let's go 2,000 years later and to April 29th, 2018, and let's look at us. And so, we want to be doing something, okay? What does it require? Who's going to help us get this thing done? The Lord working with us. The Lord working with us. Jesus right there with us. He said, where two or three are gathered together, I will be in their midst. How does He do that if there's two or three gathered together in 100 different places? You know what I'm saying? But that is His promise. And so what we need is working with, and I appreciate what Pablo had to say about it. We need to acknowledge Him working with us, doing it so we're doing things His way. You know what I mean? And He's let us know. He said, He made a statement in John 15, where He says, all things that the Father has told me, I have told you. I didn't word it exactly right, but whatever I heard from the Father, I have told you. No man has seen God at any time. This is in, you know, John 1:18. But He says, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, what did He do? Whatever the Father has told me, I have told you. He has declared Him. He has revealed Him. He has expressed Him. The expressed nature, the expressed word, or expression means vocalized. He has vocalized what God wanted Him to say. He spoke it. And so we have had access, because of this word, we are hearing the things that God told Him. And what I want us to understand, there is no exception to this. We have access to the truth as God spoke through Jesus. The thing we have to remember, the Holy Spirit is not the third member of the Godhead. He's part of God. And God has used the Spirit so that we can be guided into truth. And by being guided into truth, we can be guided past the Trinitarian thing that might be in the King James translation because of King James being a Trinitarian. Can I make this plain? Do you understand what I'm saying? That is not an obstacle. It used to be to me. And you know why it was an obstacle? Because I was too much letter-minded. I was too concerned about not making a mistake in the letter. I got to make sure that I get the right translation. I got to make sure that I'm hearing it right. You know what? It doesn't matter if you hear it right. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to guide you into the truth anyway. We are going to have mistakes. That is why people can take the Bible and they can use a letter and they can destroy themselves. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Do you follow what I'm saying? Have I lost everybody so far? And so we're not dependent on the letter of the Word. But we are dependent on the Spirit of God. He will take the Word and remove the letter aspect and give you the Spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're Spirit and they're life. But you know what? There's a lot of people that don't know that. It's a letter. And they argue over the letter. Remember the Bible answer stands we used to have? I was never a part of one, but anyway, Community Chapel was famous for it. They had all these intellectuals. And this morning I thought, you know what? If God had made all of us, everybody 1,000 times more intelligent than we are, and we stood before Him, we'd still be a whole bunch of dime store dummies. Because the intelligence and the greatness of God supersedes anything that we know to such a degree that there's no comparison. And I was thinking about, you know, the other day about the computers, and I know nothing about computers, but I think I know something, but about the greatness and what these things are able to do and how they're able to store, you know, a million things in them or whatever. And I thought, I wonder if any of them are able yet to discern the thoughts of people. Have you ever heard of anything like that, Kirky?
Sort of.
Oh, you have? Sort of. Well, because the Bible says that God is a discerner of men's thoughts. You know what I mean? People will be judged by their thoughts. That wasn't what I was thinking, not the thoughts. The intents of the hearts. How about that one? Okay. I don't think they've tried that yet, but if God is able to know the intents of men's hearts, what category does that put Him in? Anyway.
I'm a little under the weather. I came 2,000 miles to be here.
Gee, we must be
20 hours in airports. God is good. I would like people to think really long and hard on what Pablo shared this morning. I've always struggled with that, and we kind of circled on that. Because if you just read James with a letter, not with the Spirit, you convince yourself you got to be off doing stuff. And that's what it is. And it seems like it's really good stuff because you've made a judgment as to what God really wants you to do. So you're now got two strikes against you because you're deciding that this is good and you're passing judgment. You're off doing stuff, but you're not doing it because God led you. You're doing it because this one part of the Bible says you've got to do stuff because it's got to be an action. There's no heart. I'm going to come at what Keith shared, maybe just a little differently, and say that, I don't know. If Jesus is the expressed image of God, where's the line? Why can't we be God if that's what Jesus is the pathway to? So I'm not sure you didn't say that we couldn't, but I don't know. But I think we're really getting the revelation between the difference between letter, heart, intent, and spirit. And might be self-serving, but it kind of, sort of what I was trying to express in a different way last week when I was talking about layers of the onion and where we are in understanding the Word of God and why the Bible continues to change in front of us. Because if you go beyond the letter of the Bible and you let God's heart start to become part of you and the Spirit moves, you get away from not getting trapped by letters. And so many Christians see something and put a natural-minded spin to it based upon a letter and totally miss the heart of God that's trying to be expressed. And that's why I'm never done reading it, because it's never done. And God just hasn't completed sharing his heart and revealing himself to me. I'm not going to go into too many details other than to say that my trip appears to have been pretty good, and I give God the glory for that. It has been and is just kind of an amazing thing when you just sit back and realize how faithful he will be, if you will be faithful to him. And and that is really the challenge, because the enemy will try to trap you and drag you down and convince you of all sorts of things. And if you have the faith to persevere, God, like the shepherd, just will not let you be abandoned. He will find you. Not going to be too long this morning. One other thing, you know, as Ken was sharing about, you know, just asking for forgiveness, and my letter-minded thinking goes, I've asked for forgiveness, so now I'm perfect for this, like, one incident. I go, I don't know if I can claim that or not, you know. Maybe. But the Almighty God also knows about the sin that I haven't yet done yet. So, where does that land in this deal? I am asked for forgiveness right up to here, and he goes, okay, good. And then, you know, 10 milliseconds later or whatever it is, it's like, eh, okay, fell off that. So maybe it's possible for a moment. I don't know. I've always struggled with absolutes when it comes to God, other than to say he is the absolute. Everything else is trying to get. Not disagreeing, brother, just going, can't wrap my head around that just yet. Just not quite ready to, oh, yeah, I can be perfect, even for just a millisecond.
Throw this at you. He knows you might sin, but he also knows you might ask for forgiveness.
He might already know. So he's going to sin and forget. It's like, Dom, my head hurts. Anyways, God is good. I have been so tied up, I've not been kind of where the guys have been the last 2-3 weeks, and I miss that, and I've got to get a little, I got to get back to that, and I think that'll happen. But my testimony is just that he is faithful. I think we're going on, and we're getting deeper, but in the right way, because, you know, excuse me, Keith gets up and he says, you know, I have all these more questions. And I go, just like a child. That's exactly what I asked, just like a child. I don't have answers, I've got questions, and I'm waiting on the Father to show me these answers. And I'm going, man, we're right where we need to be. Do I know what's going on? No. No. Who knows? He knows. Will he tell me? Absolutely. When will he tell me? I don't know. Is that okay? Absolutely. Why? Because he knows the right time. Do you know the right time? No. Is that okay? Yes. Why? Because he knows everything and you don't. Are you okay with it? Oh. Let me try again. Are you okay with it? Yes, I gotta be okay with it. I want to be okay with it. I'm not going to make it up. I am not going to make up the answers anymore. I'm not going to read letters and then make up an answer to fit something I think. I am going to wait for him to tell me. When's he going to do that? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Does it have to be on this side or that side? That doesn't matter. Not to him. Does it matter to you? Okay, you've got to fix that. Because that's your problem, not his problem. Boy, when I finally got to the point where I said, what do I have to know? And realized, all I have to know is what he tells me. And when he doesn't tell me, is that my fault? There's, you know, if I made myself open, then I'm ready. If I'm just waiting on him like a child, going, boy, God, I'd really, I'm, you brought me to the spot. I'm wondering on this. I'm receiving your word, and I go, I don't know exactly what that means. Not a bad thing. Lord, I want to know. So, I don't know, 20 years ago, I remember getting up an awful lot because I hadn't gone through the Bible a lot of times, probably not even once, but I knew that I had questions. And my heart fills with joy when we get up and we say, I've got questions, because that means we're not becoming pharisaical and we're not falling into the trap that we know the answers and we're not letting the enemy drag us away, because we're saying we don't have the answers. What we're saying is we're still looking and seeking God. I think that's just the right place we want to be.
I just wanted to make a statement or comment. I have a habit of opening up some cans of worms once in a while, and I do it on purpose. And if this was Community Chapel in Seattle years ago, I would not say half of the things that I say, because I know that I'm going to be put on the spot. But you see, the thing is, I trust the hearts of those that are in this church. I trust you. And so what you're going to do is maybe bring some corrections to some of the things that the statements that I make. I know that. I'm prepared for that. inwardly I'm prepared. So you know what? I think that I'm somewhere near a thought that's accurate. It doesn't mean I am accurate. It just, I feel like, you know, that we're getting closer and closer and closer to something that is major. And so, you know what's going to happen? Pablo, Ken, and Charlie, and Corky, and Glenn, and what you're going to do is you're going to hear this, and you're going to think about it. And then the Spirit's going to work on it, and pretty soon this thing will get balanced out until we, you know what I mean? God, that's the way God works. And I trust God to move through you guys. This is the only time ever in my life that I have felt that kind of trust. And I love it. I appreciate it. I thank you. I thank you for opening up to the Lord and letting God do what He wants to do in your life. You know, there's a Bible, there's a scripture in 1 John. It says, if your heart condemns you not. Can you imagine that place? If your heart condemns you not, then you have peace with God. I think that's what the statement says. I think you have peace with God or something. And you know what I want? I want to come to a place where my heart does not condemn me. I walked in something, and I don't know if I'm accurate in it, but when deliverance started in 82, I had the feeling that for a month and a half, I never committed one sin by thought, word, or deed. Was that right? Probably not. But that's what I thought. That's the way I felt. And I thought it was a good feeling. It was a good feeling. I want that feeling.
This is a quick verse regarding the letter kills and the spirit gives life. 2 Timothy 2, I believe, yeah, 14. It says, remind them of these things. I don't know if this ties well or not. Maybe it's not meaning what I think it would mean, but remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. So, you know, don't pick at these words, you know. Don't strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, which means avoid at all costs, you know. But shun, profane and idle babblings. You know, that's... For they will increase to more ungodliness. Anyways, I don't know if there's much I can say about it. Yes. Sometimes it's bad read the scripture.
Is that where it also says, and science falsely so called?
I don't know.
That's the end of
1
Timothy?
No, this is
2 Timothy.
End of it? No, this is like
in the middle. Oh. But it says, like the, is the science faulty so called?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
And knowledge? Is science meaning knowledge? And you know what it says? It says avoid it.
Yes.
Avoid it.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the letter in the Spirit. So when you're born again, do you get filled with the letter? You get filled with His Spirit. And what does He send to reveal? The Spirit of truth, you know. Now, He says, I'll write my laws and whatever on your heart. But that's not the letter. He's going to give you the true intention of what those things were. You know, that you'll just do it on your own because you love Him and want to fulfill those things. You know, it's... Yeah, I I just feel like I kind of like rejoice every time I consider the fact that my intelligence has nothing to do with my walk with God, you know, or my way into the kingdom does not depend at all on my intelligence, you know. And the other thing that goes with that I happen to read again and I'm going to remind you of is in Hebrews it talks about entering into his rest. And I was just so elated one day about, I don't know how many years ago, when I put that with the fact that I do not need to study this word with my brain. I'm in a rest.
Yes, that's good.
I'm resting. There's no works. I'm resting with God like he rested, you know? That's what he says. I want you to enter into my rest. And the way I took that, and I haven't heard anybody disagree yet, but was that I will provide you.
Yes.
You won't. You know, you don't have to do anything other than hear my word, which is a commandment. And it says, if you obey my commandments, and that's one of them, hear my word, hear my son, you know, because he speaks my words, then you'll enter into my rest. And that's a glorious place, you know, not to be. Oh, I remember too, I got to where I had a couple different, I had a Weiss and, you know, all those things that you could all go to try and study back and forth and figure out who was right. And then, you know, now you look back and you just go, well, so all them books were, was the thoughts of men. And some of them agree with each other and some don't. So is there an answer? Not in those. But the promise is that you will all be of one mind. And you know, as I thought on that, well, how, I mean, if you would have heard that 20-odd more years ago before we listened, you would have thought, oh, that's impossible. Which I've heard guys say today, it's impossible. Well, there's no way you're ever going to get each person to understand the same thing. Well, really? Then God's a liar. Because he says you can have one mind with one another. Well, how would that possibly? Well, all of a sudden it became so evident.
Yes.
Because if you're not in the letter of this word, but the Spirit,
yes,
it will teach you all the same thing, which has been brought, I don't know how many times, you know, is like he says, well, is the Spirit going to give something over here that doesn't line with over here so that you sit and argue about it the rest of the walk, of your walk on this earth? You know, think about that. Why are there so many denominations? Because they went by the letter,
yeah,
not by the Spirit, you know? And it says in there, I mean, Paul says, don't make a gospel like, don't make it Paul's gospel, Peter's gospel. So what do we got? Well, we've got the Baptist gospel, the Lutheran gospel, the Pentecostal, went directly against God's word.
Yes.
That you'd even name those things.
Good.
You know? Yeah, it's because in this word, there is no such thing. It's just Christian, you know, Church of Christ, yeah. Well, that doesn't have Baptist, Lutheran, or anything on it, you know. So I was listening to somebody just for a few minutes, and I was going to listen longer because it was like a little Bible study. And then I thought, nope, because it was four or five men going to discuss some things. And I know I'm just going to go get ready for church, so I turned it off. But it's like, they did bring up, like, they said, well, actually, both the church or whatever, you know, the Israelites at the time were wrong, and so were the disciples for a little bit, because they both had their concept of who the Messiah was going to be, and it wasn't either one of them. So I thought, but have you considered that over 2,000 years you've gotten to as far away from who he is today as they were then? Because we did.
we included, we got totally away from what the true gospel was. You know, and it's because we missed a certain concept. First of all, we weren't, you know, we were studying by the, you know, the letter, kind of, with our minds. The other was that we missed the fact of who Jesus Christ really and truly is, a man, you know, and a glorious man, but yet a man. And so it's going to be funny because when God starts sending different ones of us, hopefully us, out to proclaim his truth, it's to some, it's going to show how black and white and how black it's gotten since Christ. And to the others, they'll say, you're all nuts, you know. But that's just the way it is, you know. And it says, you know, that, and I thought about this, it's like, you know, what makes you think you're of the light? Well, you know what? You if you're of the light, you're not going to argue that. You're going to present what you know, and if they see it, they see it. If they don't, then you don't. It's not my concern. I just want to remain in the light, you know. And when you read about, I was thinking about all that, you know, when Paul's going out and all of them, they were going out and evangelizing and everything, and they're coming up against these horrific persecutions from, you know, and it's from, like, either it's from the Jews who do not want to get out from under the law, or it's from the people that have all their own gods and they don't want to hear that their God isn't the right God. And so, but then there are the ones that do hear, and that's all that they focused on for the most part, and they took the abuse and the tribulations and the persecutions from all those other ones so that the light would shine to the very few, you know. And I was reading some of that about, and it says, you know, be of the light, you know, and you won't be drunk at night and whatever and all the things at night. But it says, but then it says, but even in the day and the night, you will be, you know, you'll know who you are. And you will be, and you will recognize, you know, I picked up on something. You know, it says, the day and hour you won't know and the thief might come, you know. And it's talking about the day of the Lord. Well, if you keep reading, you who are of him will recognize the thief. And you will recognize the day when it comes. You may not see it ahead of time, but when it comes, you will know it. And so that gave me some hope, you know. You can't name the day, but you'll recognize it when it comes. And that makes sense. I mean, you know, it says look nigh because your salvation draweth near, you know. So I think, and then it always amazes me when I hear Paul say something like, and in these last days, and he's talking 2,000 years ago, and in these last days, and it says that quite a bit, not just by him, but it makes that inference a lot. And I'm thinking, okay, it's been 2,000 years. We got to be getting close, don't we? Because it implies that it won't go another a total of 4,000 years like it did up to that point. I mean, because it just says everything has been shortened, you know, and everything has been. If you think about how long a man lives from when it started out and everything, but anyway, one comment too. You know, the thing about computers, I mean, obviously, is they're developing them then where, and I know when. You got asked the question, Corky, and you went, well, they said, well, computers have gotten to the place where they could probably just about tell you what a person will do in a situation only because they've all been fed. See, the thing is, a computer, no matter what, still is fed by human intelligence. Correct? I mean, and then and obviously they can put stuff in there that makes it react to what that's already been given here, and this has happened a million times, so da 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 da, you know. But yeah, they can't. It'll never read the intent of your heart. It will say, well, we know some intents of the heart, which could happen, but for you particular, well, no, we can't. You know, so that's the glorious part about our God. He's the ultimate. And I don't even want to say it. He's not a computer. He's just an awesome, awesome God.
The computer doesn't love.
And then Paul was so up to date that he said in there, he says, and we which are alive and remain.
Yeah. We'll be caught up.
He was thinking that it was gonna be in his day. So his timing wasn't exactly accurate, you know. But anyway. I had some other thought, but I lost that in the maze of everything else. So, anything else? Okay.
There's another scripture regarding the spirit and the letter that Jesus says, He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me.
Yes.
But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. So, you know, I don't want to explain anything. That's the scripture.
I remember what the scripture was that I had in my mind. The Holy Spirit is able to do something that no teacher can do. And it says in the 2 Corinthians, or in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, it says, he compares, what does he do? What does he compare? He compares spiritual with spiritual. He can compare spiritual with spiritual. Nobody else can do that. And so, Jesus made a statement, and he says, when he was being tempted, and he told the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And so, instead of isolating scriptures like we have done for years, we take in every word. We take in every word. We're taking in every word. What is the advantage of every word? The Holy Spirit compares spiritual with spiritual. He is able to give us concrete things added up. You know, you put enough weight on something, it's heavy. And so some of these understandings get so heavy that they make you free. The nature of Christ, the humanity. After you hear hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses that all point towards the humanity, the Holy Spirit doing the leading, it does something to you. Anyway, let's come up to the front.